the good news. That's what the gospel is called. That's the meaning of the word gospel, the good news. And I believe you've heard that both in song and in Scripture tonight already. You know, it's this time of year that the entire world is reminded of baby Jesus coming to the earth in the manger in a stable in Bethlehem. You know, we are constantly reminded by the lights that are put up, the trees that are decorated, and certainly, as the kids will testify, the presents that go under the trees. We're also reminded by the Christmas carols that we hear and sing. Certainly, we know that we've just passed two of the busiest shopping days of the year, Black Friday and what they call now Cyber Monday. Some stores have even had Christmas decorations on sale since before October was over. But you realize that all of these events, all of these things that you see are really all pressing towards one remarkable event. You know, when you strip away the commercialism and all the hype, when you boil everything down, except for the very essence of Christmas, you'll come to the conclusion that Christmas, despite all the crazy hype that surrounds it, is ultimately about recognizing the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a celebration of God coming to earth as man. You know, I submit to you, that's the most significant event in all of history. You know, Christ has had more of an impact in all of humanity than any other figure in all of history. His birth story is one of the best known stories of all time. Even those that know little of Christ can tell you that he was born in a manger, that he was born in Bethlehem, and that there were angels and shepherds in attendance to pay Christ homage. Now, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Why? Because I said his coming was the most significant event in all of history. As a matter of fact, to this day, we are still marking time by this man. But have you ever taken the time to ask, why? Why would God come to earth as a man? Why is it we even have a Christmas season and celebrate the birth of Christ? You know, I believe there are several different reasons that people believe that Jesus came to earth. I believe some people think that Christ came to earth to give us teachings that would transform conventional wisdom. As a matter of fact, throughout the world, if you ask people about Jesus Christ, if they have heard of him, many will say he came and he was a great teacher. His teachings would be so radical that they would challenge the status quo of the established religious power of his day. Luke 4:32 says, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." Matthew 7:28-29 says, "And as it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." John 7:46 says, "Never man spake like this man." Listen, his teachings were filled with power, and he has had a profound impact on every generation since he spoke these words. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ is a master teacher. He used stories that contain the most elemental figures to relay very complex spiritual truths. There's no doubt that he was an excellent teacher, and that those that have listened or read to his sermons throughout the generations have been greatly blessed because of them. But to say that he came only to teach is to fall well short of his divine mission on this earth. Some would say that Jesus Christ came to be an example to us as human beings. You know, there's no doubt that Jesus Christ was the perfect example. 1 Peter 2:1 says, "Leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps," his being Jesus Christ. John 13:15 says, "For I have given you an example," this is Jesus himself speaking, "that ye should do as I have done to you." Now, whether it was his humility or his victory over temptation or the way that we should order our lives or even his response to persecution, he is our perfect example. There's nothing in his life that we could ever second guess. I don't believe any of us could ever say, "You know, I just don't think I would have done it that way. I think I would have done it or handled that situation a little differently." Well, you might well say that, but it would be us that would be in error and not Christ. He was our perfect example, so much so that we're even encouraged to think like Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Why? Because if we have His thinking on any subject or any decision we have to make, then we know it will be the right decision. He was and is our perfect example. So while He did come to teach, and while He did come to be our example, neither of these fully exemplifies the real purpose in Christ coming to earth. Have you ever wondered what Jesus would say? The reason that He came? And I wonder tonight, if He were standing here and you had the opportunity to say, Lord, why did You come to this earth and live a perfect life and suffer unimaginable pain and humiliation? You know, I believe He would say the same thing tonight that He said in Luke 19:10. He said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you know the primary purpose of Jesus Christ coming to earth was to reach out to lost humanity and to offer the gift of salvation, forgiveness of sins, and the promise of eternal life? That is why He came, to seek and to save that which was lost. Everyone says, listen, I know that He came to save the world. But I want to let you know tonight that He came to seek and to save you and myself. The word lost is translated 33 other times in our Bible as the word perishing. So Jesus came to seek and to save those that are perishing. Perfectly summed up in that idea of being lost. Many people are familiar with John 3:16, but I don't believe many are familiar with John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Verse 16 starts the very familiar verse, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But verse 17 tells us that God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Verse 8 answers the age-old question, what must I do to be lost? And the answer is simply nothing. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so many people go through life believing that Christ came to save others, but not them. But the Bible clearly teaches that we all fall short of God's perfection. And all we have to do to remain lost, to remain perishing in our sins, is absolutely nothing. He that believeth not is condemned already. But tonight, I hope you realize through the music and the words of the songs that you've heard, through God's Word, that Christ came not to save the world, but He came to save individuals, you and myself. But before you can ever get saved, you must see yourself as lost. And then you must ask the Lord to save you. Won't you take care of that tonight? Won't you allow the Savior of the world to be your Savior tonight? In just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation, and I really encourage you to respond and allow Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You know, not only do people have many different thoughts about why Christ came, but they have many ideas about Christmas. For many, it's just a holiday, one in which the season is the focus. Extra days off, or maybe holiday pay, a time of decorations, special food, and even time with family. We can get caught up in all the traditions of the season. Spending time together with your family, making your favorite Christmas snacks, or putting up the decorations and listening to the sounds of Christmas. But is that really what Christmas is all about? Do I have all my shopping done? Oh, I hope that I'm getting this or that for Christmas. Are we really supposed to be stressed about the season? Listen, tonight you've just spent the evening hearing in song about the Christ of Christmas. And our challenge to you tonight is, if you are a Christian, to ask yourself, if you celebrate because it's a tradition, and you love this time of year because of the season, or do you need to refocus your attention on the one that came, not to be celebrated as a hapless baby in a manger that can't do anything for himself, but rather let us realize that he came to earth as a baby so that he could grow into a man, live a perfect life, and become the perfect sacrifice to pay for your sins and mine on the cross of Calvary. We must understand that Christmas is the springboard to Easter. If you're here tonight and you love Christmas and the sounds and the sights and the season, but you realize that Jesus Christ didn't come to earth to be remembered as a baby in a feeding trough, but rather he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Let us first accept the gift of salvation that he offers, and then let us keep him front and center during this Christmas season. Why don't we pray together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed? Listen, no one's looking around. Some people are coming to the pianos. But I'd like to ask you a question tonight. If you're honest with